الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth at you concerning any faith that you practice or regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin, and understand that this particular lessons that I'm giving you, or any lessons, I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites, authentic rites and the rituals of the faith of Islam. So again, please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, or pen, a paper, pencil, or pen, in order for you to take notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be love and hate for Allah's sake. For the sake of Allah, to get the pleasure of Allah, doing it in Allah's cause and not to please mankind or get any money, anything like that. It's all to please Allah. Now, as one saying, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, "Al mur'u ma'a man ahabba," which says, everyone will be with those whom he loves. And what do I mean by that? The Prophet Muhammad had a man, he came to him and he said, and he asked about the hour, meaning the day of judgment. And the day of judgment, it will be coming. For those of you who do not know, listen to my previous episodes where I talk about the day of judgment. I talk about paradise. I talk about the hellfire. And I mentioned a lot of different things. So just listen to some of my previous episodes so you can catch up with the class in case you just come to this class for the first time and you haven't heard previous classes that I've been presenting. And again, we're talking about the hour, we're talking about the day of judgment, Yom Qiyamah, and saying, when will the hour be? The Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, said, what have you prepared for it? The man said, nothing, except that I love Allah and love his apostle. The Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, he said, you will be with those whom you love. We had never been so glad as we were on hearing that saying of the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, you will be with those whom you love. Therefore, I love the Prophet, Abu Bakr, which is his father-in-law, and also the second leader of the Muslims, and Umar, who also was a leader of the Muslims. And I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not similar to theirs. And so he was very pleased to hear that he would be with those whom he loved. That's what he prepared for the day of judgment, to be with those whom he loved, to follow away the Prophet Muhammad with peace and blessing upon him. And of course, Abu Bakr Siddiq, his father-in-law, also followed him, Prophet Muhammad, and also Umar, also followed the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him. And the way he was, and the way he behaved, and the way he acted, that's the same thing that they did. Also, you had a situation. Now, let me just tell you an example of this, of those who love for the sake of Allah only. They don't love anything else but love Allah. Because we're talking about here, my students, is that when you say that you love Allah, that means that, let me kind of explain this to you a little bit, that means that you love Allah more than you love yourself. Or you love Prophet Muhammad more than you love yourself. I probably wonder, how can that be? I love me, right? But you love you, but you should love Allah even more than that. And so I just want to emphasize to you the level of when you're talking about loving Allah, or loving for the sake of Allah. There was a man. He was going to a town, and his friend was there, and so Allah dispatched an angel to be on the road the man was traveling, and asked the man where he was going, why he was going. And so the angel was on the road, and he saw the man, and he said, like, you know, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see my brother in so-and-so town. He said, well, is he responsible to you? Does he owe you anything? You owe him anything? Why are you going to see him? And so the man responded. He said, well, I'm going to see him because I love him. I love him for the sake of Allah. It's not the kind of love we're talking about that people talk about now, which is what we say in Islam is haram. A man loving another man, a woman loving another woman in an intimate way, and making it and saying they're her husband and wife and boyfriend and girlfriend, a man on man, one on woman. No, Islamically, we don't do that. We're against this type of behavior. This might be my last episode, because maybe people were not appreciate the frankness of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the position of Islam, because we're talking about you learning about Islam in these classes. You may not like everything that you see, and I ask you when you come to the class that you put what you believe and understand about Islam on the shelf. You leave it outside the classroom, and then you come into the classroom and you learn what Islam truly is. When you leave the classroom, that's up to you. If you want to take it off the shelf and whatever your belief and instill it back into yourself, that's up to you. But I'm just showing you with proofs from Quran and Hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, about what Islam says about Islam. Well, I'm a Muslim. I've been a Muslim for a lot of years, since 1976, a long time. And so I base my deen and my understanding of the religion from Quran and the saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and I'm teaching you the same thing as your teacher or instructor in this class. And some of the things I'm going to say, you're not going to like. I'm not here to be liked or saying things to make you happy. I'm just here to let you know what Islam says about certain things that people are doing in the world, or people are doing behind closed doors, or you know what various people are doing. You may have been doing so many things yourself. And so that's up to you to choose to do what Islam says, or you choose to do continue to do what you've been doing before you came to class. That is all up to you. But this man, he said, look, I'm going to this town to visit this man. He owes me nothing. Only for his sake. Only for the sake of Allah. I love him for the sake of Allah. And then the angel said to him, know that you love that. Basically, you're loving this man for the sake of Allah, and Allah loves you for that same reason. Because you love this man for his sake, and Allah loves you. Because you're doing it for the sake of Allah and for no other reason that you're doing this kind of thing. And so I want my students to understand how beautiful this thing is that the man said, no, I love him for Allah. And then the angel said, I'm the messenger of Allah to you, and Allah loves you as you love him. That's a very beautiful thing that we all want Allah to love us, to caress us, to care about us, to look over us. You never had any love like the love of Allah, or love from Allah. Allah protects those whom he loves. When you make dua, you make supplication. You take one step towards Allah, Allah comes running to you. It's a simple formula. Just beg and ask Allah for what you need and what you want and what you desire. Allah said, ask of him. You want to seek help? Seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May glorify him and him alone. I want to give you another story so you understand the depth of loving Allah. And that is, there were three men, and they were walking, and they were near this mountain. And so it started raining real hard, and so they sought shelter in a cave that was inside this mountain. And then once all three of them got inside the cave, then a stone or rock dropped in front of the cave, blocking them from going out the cave or exiting the cave. They couldn't get out. And so what happened is one of the men said, well, say something that you did only for the sake of Allah. And then you make dua and ask Allah to remove this stone or this rock, whatever, from our entrance so we be able to leave. Okay, the men agreed. So the first man said, well, he said, I'm a farmer. And what happened is that every night, I would bring in the food or the milk to my family, my wife, my children, and my parents, and make sure they all ate. He said one night I went out far. Instead of Karib, it was Ba'id. Instead of being close to my house, I was far away from my house in another area of the field, and then I came in late, and by the time I came in, my parents were asleep. And so I held all night the milk for them until the morning. My children was crying and pulling on me, and they wanted something to eat. But no, my parents ate first. And said, Ya Allah, O Rabb, Ya Rabb, if I did this for your sake, and for your sake alone, Wahida alone, please remove the stone or this rock a little bit away from the entrance. And so Allah accepted that, and he did it only for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, and Allah removed the rock a little bit from the entrance. And then the second man said, okay, Rajathani, he said, I had this cousin. Man, she was beautiful. These are my words. She was beautiful. I just had to have her, meaning sexually I wanted to be with her. And so I talked her into it. I was with her. I was about to enter into her, have sex with her. And then she said, fear Allah before you break the seal, meaning take away my chastity, fear Allah. And so the man stopped and he thought about that. And so he went and he said, I stopped because of the sake of Allah. And Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, if I did this solely for your sake, please move this rock a little bit further from the entrance. And so Allah accepted that and removed the stone or the rock a little bit more for the entrance. And so Raja Akhir, the last man, he said, what happened is that what I did for the cause of Allah only, or the sake of Allah, is that I had a man work with me, a workman on a farm. And after he worked, now I was about to give him his money, because Islamically, before a person's sweat dries from their brow, from their forehead, before they can wipe it away, you give them their money that they earned. And so he was trying to give the man his money, and the man said, no, I don't want the money. And he went away. And so the farmer, the man who hired him, he used the money and profit off of it. He became very rich off the money that he gave, that the man left him, or the man did not take from him. Bought more cows and more goat and more sheep and that kind of thing. And so the man came back a few weeks later, whatever, the man came back and he said, well, you know, I want my money. I want the money you owe me. And so the farmer said, his employer said, well, see those cows and those goat sheep, take all of them. They're all yours. And the man basically said, like, don't fun with me. Don't play with me. Because he knew his money was a whole lot less than those cows and sheep and those goats. But the man said, no, those cows and those sheep, those goats, you take them all. They're all of yours. Of course, the man was happy. And he took all took those things away. And then the farmer said, the employer said, "Ya Allah, Ya Rab, if I did this solely for your sake, please, Allah, move the stone or the rock away from the entrance so we can escape." Kharj. Okay? And so Allah removed it more from the entrance, and they all were able to leave out of that cave. And they all did say something that they did for the sake of Allah, only for the sake of Allah and the love for Allah, for Allah. And so I want to mention those few stories so you all to understand we talk about doing something for the sake of Allah. Allah reward us for that. And I'm going to give some other rewards later on when we talk about loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Because there also a hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, is that the Prophet, Allah said, he said, Jibril called, he said, Allah loves a person. And so he calls Jibril saying, Allah loves so-and-so. And Jibril loved him. And Jibril, meaning angel Jibril, or Gabriel, would love him and make an announcement among the inhabitants of the heaven, Allah loves so-and-so, therefore you should also love so-and-so. And so all the inhabitants of heaven would love him. And then he gained the pleasure of people on earth. I think I read something where it said all of creation, meaning the birds and the trees and the fish, they all join in and loving this particular individual that Allah loves. And of course, we talk about Bil'ax. The opposite of that is that, meaning that Allah hates, I say, for example, a hypocrite, a person who say, for example, yeah, I believe, but they really don't believe. So say, for example, Allah says, I hate so-and-so. And informing Jibril, I hate so-and-so. So Jibril, he announced to the people, the inhabitants of paradise, heaven, he said, Allah hates so-and-so. And everyone in paradise hates so-and-so. And so all the people on earth, they hate so-and-so. And so we all will make sure that we love what Allah loves and we hate what Allah hates. Even we're talking about human beings. For example, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he mentioned one time about the Ansar. The Ansar are the people, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, was going through a lot of turmoil and problems in Mecca, and they were beating up the people who follow him. They were dragging them through they put them on the hot sand, burning. They were doing all kinds of things, and also boycotting them. We're not selling anything to them, any food or anything to them. And so these are the various things they were going through, being boycotted in Mecca. And so the people in Medina, which are the Ansar people, Ansar basically mean helpers of Allah. And they came to the Prophet and said, look, you can come to Medina and we'll accept you. Because your people in Mecca, they don't accept you. But you can come to Medina, no problem, and we accept what you have to say and we will follow you. And so this is a beautiful thing that they said, and he went to Medina, and that was the first true Islamic state. And you really need to understand what Islamic state means, not like people sometimes say Islamic state in a negative way about Islamic state, but read about what Islam says about Islamic state and not what people saying that don't know anything about what a true Islamic state and the beauty of an Islamic state. And so the first Islamic state was in Medina. And so the Prophet Muhammad, he said to the people, he said, only a believer loves them, meaning the Ansar. And only hypocrites hate them. Allah loves him who loves them. And Allah hates him who hates them. If you hate the Ansar, Allah hates you. But if you love the Ansar, these people, then Allah loves you. And also, as I said before, that Allah has said about, he has said, Angel Beauty, hate so-and-so. And so everything hates so-and-so. Just like I mentioned earlier, that he loves so-and-so. And so everything loves so-and-so. And so I just want to mention just these few things to my students so you understand the strength of loving Allah. Loving Allah and doing things just for Allah's sake. Loving your brother or your sister for Allah's sake. Sometimes I might have a brother say, I love you for the sake of Allah. A sister may say to me, I love you for the sake of Allah. For no other reason. For the sake of Allah, I love you. You're my brother. And you are part of me. If you hurt, I hurt. If one part of the body of the Muslim nation hurts, then the whole of the Muslim nation hurt. And that's just where we come from. That's where what we're supposed to be. Muslim ahi Muslim. Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. We don't hurt them with our tongue. We don't hurt them with our hands. We don't take their property away or dishonor them. Those are the things we don't do to another Muslim. Matter of fact, honestly, we don't do that to another human being. This is not what a Muslim supposed to do. Even during wartime, we don't when we capture people in wartime, say people attack us and we had to defend ourselves. And we defend ourselves well, and then we may get some people who are the what you call prisoners of war. And so we don't torture them and try to get information out of them or treat them bad because they may offend some of our comrades or anything like that. No. We treat them well. We treat them in a way we want to get treated. In other words, what we eat, they eat. The way we dress, we dress. We don't beat them up every day, every time we see them, because we know that you hate us. We don't do that. That's not the Islamic way. We don't go and burn down a church or a synagogue. That is not the Islamic way. That's not what we do. Those places are very important. They are sacred places, a place of worship of Allah, and we don't burn down those places. That's not what a Muslim is supposed to do. We don't burn down vegetation. We don't fight people who are non-combatants. A person who is a child or an elderly or a woman, they're non-combatant. We don't do anything to those people. That's the beauty of Islam. You are in this class to understand and learn about Islam, and I'm doing my best to teach you what Islam is and what Islam is not. And when we talk about loving, the primary thing for us, wa ma khalaqtu jinn wa ins illa liya'budun, that Allah, he created man and jinn is an unseen being. And do what? To worship him. Not to do anything else but to worship Allah. That's why we were put on this earth. That's why we were created. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ جِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا وَمَا خَلَقْتُ مankind and jinn. Why? To worship Allah. To the insan, to worship Allah. The jinn, meaning the unseen beings, to worship Allah. That's what we do, and that's why we're here. So people sometimes wonder, okay, why am I here? Why was I created? What is my purpose in life? That's your purpose in life, is to worship Allah. If you understand that and get on Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path, you cannot go wrong. You follow Quran, and you follow the Sunnah of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, and you cannot go wrong. Just read about Islam for yourself. That's all. Don't go by what your teacher says. Read it for yourself. Crack the book open for yourself, or go to a neighborhood masjid, a place of worship, a masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, and ask the imam, the leaders there, to tell me something about Islam. They should not try to force you, because there's no making a person become Muslim. It's not that at all. You go there, you find out about Islam, you leave freely. You go there freely, find out more about Islam, and you leave freely. You make the decision if you're going to become Muslim. Decision, if you become Muslim or not, is all yours. We don't force anyone to become Muslim. We can't make anyone become Muslim. They come become that on their own. But I'm kind of getting off a little bit on the particular subject I'm talking about. So let's get back to the subject of loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Allah does not love something, you don't love it. He hates something, then you hate it. If he loves something, you love that thing too. You try to do things that's going to please Allah. It's like I mentioned to you before, when a man came in the masjid, a place of worship, and there was some men, I'm just telling the story, and some men were sitting in there, and they saw the man, and they were saying all these accolades towards the man, all the good thing about the man. The man, you know, he was praying, whatever, and then the man just turned in his head towards the men and said, I'm fasting too. And so the man really wasn't praying to Allah and for Allah and for Allah's sake. He was doing everything to, for these people who were praising him, who were saying how humble he looking, how modest he looking. Look at his dress. Look at his form. He's very, very humble brother, but standing before Allah. Look at him. Him hearing this, he had to also chime in the middle of his prayer and say, and I'm fasting too. So what was his reason for doing what he was doing? Was it for Allah, for the love of Allah, or was it for the, or what is for this individual? And so I want to also read a supplication that Prophet Muhammad that he would say. And he would say, this is a very beautiful supplication. He would say, oh Allah, I ask you for your love, the love of those who you love, and the deeds which will cause me to attain your love. O Allah, Ya Rabb, make your love dearer to me than myself, my family, and the cold water. And so here he's saying, making your love, Allah, dearer to me. I want to be qareeb, Allah. I want to be close to you, Allah, not ba'eed, not farther away from you, my Lord. And also, I want to read something else, which is a very beautiful thing. And it says, in the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, Allah, the mighty and sublime, said, those who love each other for the sake of the majesty, Allah, shall be upon podiums of light, and they will be admired by the prophets and the martyrs. It's a beautiful thing. Just for you loving for the sake of Allah, loving others for the sake of Allah, you will be as an individual on a pulpit or a podium of light. You're shining all over, and guess who's going to be admiring you? The best of the people will be the prophets and also the martyrs, the ones who died fighting fi sabilillah. They will admire you because why? Because you are the ones of those who love each other for the sake of Allah. This simple, easy thing to do is loving others for the sake of Allah. Loving what Allah loves and hating what Allah hates. It's such a beautiful thing. And so, my beautiful students, you understand, I hope it's a little more clearer about loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Loving what Allah loves and hating what Allah loves. And so we're going to do our best to do things that's going to please Allah, to get close to Allah, doing things strictly for the sake of Allah, like those men did when they were in the cave. Or also when a man was on his way to see his friend, that he did it only for the love of Allah to go see his friend. When was the last time you did something strictly for the pleasure of Allah, asking for no other reason but just seeking the pleasure of Allah? If you haven't done that lately, then plan to do it after this class is over. Try to at least do one thing only, for the sake of Allah, and that may be a very beneficial thing to you. And so I want to remind my student, you want to learn more about Islam, you always go to Why Islam. You can also learn more about Islam. You go to International Online University. You also learn about more about Islam. You go to American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.